want to know what might really be going on. And I'm going to find out.
Briefing note. Court-martial transcript accessed by Bite Me.
Court-martial transcript United Terran Navy, Alexander Fleet. Classified. Incept 72275. Witness ident Ezra Mason. Rank second lieutenant. Call sign not applicable. Commanding officer David Torrance. Rank general. Call sign Dozer. Transcript page 5.
DT. Lieutenant Mason, what was your initial reaction when Echo Group was ordered to attack Shuttle Group Osprey?
EM. Sir?
What did you do when the Alexander ordered you to open fire on the Copernicus shuttles?
I didn't do anything. I was waiting for my CO to confirm the order.
Your commanding officer being Major Eli Hawking?
Yes, sir. Prophet.
And did Major Hawking confirm the Alexander's command and order Echo Group to engage and destroy the shuttle group? I beg your pardon, Lieutenant? Lieutenant, you are accused of disobeying a direct order in a time of war. Do I need to explain the severity of this situation to you? The penalty you will face if this court finds you guilty?
You have the communications logs. What do you need me to...
Lieutenant Mason, you will answer all questions addressed to you, or this court will find your pretty boy ass in contempt.
No. Prophet didn't confirm the order, sir.
What did Major Hawk...
We just watched the Alexander murder over 2,000 civilians for no good reason. What the hell was Prophet supposed to do?
Lieutenant Mason, you might be fresh meat from some pit digger shithole, but that's still a goddamn UTA sigil on your collar. One more outburst and I will rip out your eyeballs and skull fuck you so hard you'll wish your mama told your daddy she had a headache the night you got loaded into the launch tube.
My father is dead, sir. He died at Carenza. Sir. Sir?
Listen, son. I know your conscript material. I know you didn't join the UTA willingly, and I know you don't want to be here.
No, sir. I'm happy to help out, sir. Alexander saved us at Carenza, and I want to help. I really do. What I don't understand is why you fought so hard to save us, only to X out the Copernicus near 6 months into the retreat.
This is not a retreat, Mason.
Can we tell that to the Baytech dreadnought chasing us?
This is a tactical withdrawal, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir. Apologies, sir.
Are you ready to start answering my questions now, Lieutenant? Or do I get the MPs to warm you a seat in the hole? Lieutenant?
Ready, sir.
What did Major Hawking do when Alexander ordered Echo Group to engage and destroy the Copernicus shuttles?
He asked for confirmation from you.
He refused the order.
He wanted confirmation from a human. He just watched Aiden nuke the Copernicus.
How did you know it was the artificial intelligence that ordered the strike on Copernicus, Lieutenant?
Because it was the AI talking to us. Prophet tried to raise you on comms, and Aiden told him it was unable to comply.
And so instead of following orders, Major Hawking decided to tow the shuttles into the Alexander's hangar bay, despite repeated warnings of an Alpha Zero pathogen aboard those ships.
He didn't...
Lieutenant?
The Major didn't escort the shuttles right away. He spoke to Dreadnought...
First Lieutenant Alvaranga.
Yes, sir. He spoke to her and the CO of Delta Group. Delta got scrambled when the Copernicus was nuked. They talked it over, and all the while Aiden was just screaming at us to engage and destroy. We had no comms on those shuttles. The EMP from the blast had knocked out their systems, and they were floating helpless. But they were close enough at that point for us to see the people inside. I saw this little girl in one of the viewports. She couldn't have been more than 10.
Who made the final decision to tow the shuttles onto Alexander?
You know the answer to that, sir. You have the communications logs.
I'm asking you, Lieutenant.
You want me to feed Prophet and Dreadnought to the wolves?
I want your version of events, Lieutenant Mason. I'm not going to warn you again.
There were innocent people on board those ships. We could see them. Prophet and Dreadnought made the right call.
So it was Major Hawking and First Lieutenant Alvaranga who made the decision. Lieutenant?
I don't recall, sir.
I beg your pardon?
I don't remember. Everything happened too fast.
You're on thin fucking ice, Lieutenant.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't remember. You want to brig me for that? Do it. I'll sleep easier in the hole than I will on 30 pieces of fucking silver.
Participants Ezra Mason, 2nd Lieutenant, UTA Airborne Division. James McNulty, Sergeant, UTA Marines. Date, 7-22-75. Timestamp, 23:07 hours.
McNulty J., Sergeant. Just saw you head back to Iraq. What news, chum? Chum? Mason? Ezra Mason! Answer me, fucker. I guess they didn't shoot you.
Mason E., Lieutenant 2nd. Nope, not me.
Good news for Miss Hottie and my young namesake.
Bad news for Prophet and Dreadnought. They fucking shot them, Jimmy.
You fucking kidding me?
Do I sound like I'm fucking joking?
Jesus.
Line them up against the bulkhead and X them out. CO from Delta Group, too. And some LT from Flight Control just straight up shot them. Only reason me and Carlin got off was because we were obeying direct orders from Prophet. They had it all on the comms logs. Whole show was bullshit. Fuck. They revoked my flight status, decked until further notice.
What the fuck is Tarn thinking? We shorthanded as it is and they're Xing out our best jockeys. What they charged him with?
On paper? Disobeying a direct order in time of war. Unofficially, I heard it was a gag job. Command is telling the civvies on Hypatia it was the fucking Lincoln that blew up Copernicus. Prophet and Dreadnought wanted to tell it straight, wouldn't keep quiet about it.
Civvies would sh** bricks if they knew it was Alexander on the trigger.
You said it.
But Xing out our own guys? I didn't sign up for that sh**, chum.
Watch the chat. They could be monitoring.
Dorian said the whole contact crew is working full-time on Aiden. They're going to juice them on our local chatter, Phil.
Does Dorian know what they did with the civvies we escorted over from Copernicus?
They all locked in Bay 4. Nobody getting in or out.
No confirmation about Phobos?
Chum. They've had constant outbreaks in Copernicus since we evac'd Corenza. What are the chances none of those folks are carriers?
So we could have let the virus on board Alexander?
Shrugs.
Shit.
What's the prob? It's a bug. 3 days and you're good as new.
During the Copernicus snafu, Aiden called it a class alpha zero pathogen. And command ain't treating it like the common fucking cold.
Jesus.
You didn't hear that from me, by the way. The worst thing about this shit is we never even heard direct from Torrance during that whole mess. It was Aiden that gave us the red alert. Aiden that ordered us to fire on the shuttles. Prophet was just supposed to X out a bunch of civvies because the computer says so?
Order must have come from Torrance. The AI can't make calls like that.
Then why the fuck didn't Torrance transmit the order? He must have known Prophet wasn't going to waste 9 shuttles of civvies without meat authorization. We couldn't just fucking kill them.
Chum, I know. I would have done the same thing in your boots.
The brass has got pants full of bricks over this AI, Jimmy. I don't know what's up, but it smells brown.
Dorian said they pulled the plug on it.
On Aiden?
Yeah. That's why the engines are off.
Then what's flying the ship?
Momentum, as far as I know.
Fuck me.
I got some rocket fuel from a squatty. You got a line to the Spanner Monkeys. Come over and have a drink, chum.
Neg.
Come on. Best cure for those sorrows is to drown 'em, boy.
No drowning these ones, chum. These bad boys can swim.
Do not enter. Date 07-23-75. Subject, nightmare time. Today's group counseling session was taken up by a lady called Martha, who worked in geospec analysis on Carenza. I think. I guess it doesn't matter where she worked. Martha had three daughters named Julie, Layla, and Katya. Julie was six. She died during the evacuation of her school. Layla was two. She died when their car crashed on the way to the evac shuttles. Martha's husband, Tony, had Layla on his lap. He died, too. Katya was eight. Martha doesn't know how she died, or if she died. Just that she never made it off planet. She's been so quiet through all our sessions. Like me, she never really spoke. You couldn't tell what was going on in her head. She'd sit there, hands folded in her lap, listening. But she's been slowly coming unfastened the last month or two. Strands of hair hanging loose from her normally perfect bun. Buttons done up wrong. Shirt untucked. Little things you see everywhere, but never before on Martha. Today she just imploded. She was sitting right beside me. I don't even know what set it off, but one minute I was counting ceiling tiles, and the next she was talking. One of the guys in the group, Tan, was in the middle of some story, but he went quiet when she started. He knew it meant something that she'd chosen that moment to speak. She told us about her girls and her husband. She said she thinks a lot about whether Katya and Julie were scared at the end, that she wasn't there for them. And then she started gasping for breath. Short, sharp, hoarse breaths. Like she couldn't drag in enough air. Her whole body shaking. Some people, when they lose it, they scream, they fight. I hope that would be me. Martha just slowly slid down off her chair and folded in on herself. Everyone stared at her like she was contagious. And I reached out like, I don't know, maybe I was going to touch her or something. And suddenly she was crying. Long, low moans that sounded like they were wrenched out of her. All her grief and pain in those noises, like her body couldn't hold it any longer. One piece too many got added to the load, and she couldn't do it anymore. The group leader called the medics, and by now Martha's probably under sedation. But I'm not. I'm lying awake in bed, wondering what will happen if one piece too many gets added to my load. Wondering if there's any way out for Martha. Any chance she'll ever be okay. I've had to stop myself thinking about Asha. I can't let myself be Martha. Can't lose myself in the people we left behind. I can hear every sound in my dorm, every rustle as someone turns over, every sigh. It's impossible to sleep. There are a lot more of us on board than there ever were supposed to be. The Hypatia's a research vessel, so they have a lot of space, but most of it was intended for samples, labs, stuff like that. There are over 2,000 of us jammed in, where there used to be just 500 crew. My living quarters used to be a storage facility for geological specimens, by which I basically mean rocks. The air leaves a sharp metallic tang in your mouth, almost salty. It clings to your hair, so you carry it with you and the scent wafts around you when you turn your head. The air is also hot and kind of humid, because the scrubbers just weren't designed to recycle for this many people. Makes you really, really wish we weren't on water rations. You get used to it, though. They've taken down the shelving and crammed 16 of us in here. Each person has a bunk that's kind of a shelf sticking out of the wall. You have a belt to stop you from rolling out at night. Being the youngest in the dorm, I'm up at the very top. I don't mind being up high. Sometimes it almost feels safe. But I still can't sleep. This isn't my room. Isn't my place. There's nothing around me that's known anymore. Sure, I have routines. There are times to eat, times to sleep, times to train. I just never realized that on Carenza there was this background comfort level. The knowledge of safety. That was the bedrock under everything else. My big adventure was going to be college. My little adventures were hikes, choosing classes at school. Ezra, even. I thought he was going to be a big adventure. But that's a whole other thing. Point is, I had no idea how safe I was, because I'd never been unsafe. Ezra said that to me once. He was right. I took it all for granted. The constant and comforting background static of the universe. Now, though there are more routines than ever before, nothing's certain. The Lincoln could catch up with us at any point. It'll be months until we reach the waypoint to Heimdall. Even when we do, we've been isolated for half a year. We could be in the middle of a war for all we know. And beyond all that, Command won't tell us what's happening. I'm pretty sure they're lying to us about a lot of things that matter. Though I don't know why. And right now, that's just one uncertainty too many. I don't know my limit, but I'm scared to reach it. I don't know what'll happen if I do. And I still can't sleep.
Briefing note. After a successful incursion into the Hypatia server, Grant hacks the fleet command secure channel to make direct contact with Mason. The felonies just keep on coming.
Participants, Bite Me, via system route, Ann Chow. E. Mason, via system route, David Torrance. Date, 7-23-75. Timestamp, 08-03 hours.
Bite Me. Ezra, you there?
Mason, E., Lieutenant 2nd. Who this?
Katie.
Hello, Dorian. Your timing is as shitty as your comedy. You don't happen to have a sister, do you?
It's me, Ezra. I don't know who Dorian is.
I can't believe that scrub told you. McNulty's vault has more leaks than a recycled baby baggie.
That's completely disgusting. We have 7 minutes until I have to shut this thing down or they'll be able to track it.
Uh-huh.
This is not the reception I was hoping for. It's me.
Prove it, he cried.
How about you sprained your ankle jumping out my bedroom window while I stalled my parents at the front door.
Katie?
This is what I'm saying. Yes, Katie.
Well, I feel sheepish.
Bah!
How have you got access to IMs? Ship-to-ship comms are down.
You're right. How is this happening? Witchcraft.
This isn't like jacking the school system to give me a passing grade in chem. You could get into a lot of trouble.
You did suck at chem. It's fine. Trust me. Short bursts, text only, undetectable if we keep it under 7 minutes. Comms might be down, but command always leaves themselves a back door open, in case they want a heart-to-heart.
Is that what this is? Heart-to-heart?
Let's not get carried away. I wouldn't want to impose. Do you know why comms are down?
All non-essentials are offline. Life support and power is about all we have while the data monkeys do their thing.
With the AI? Something's wrong with it, isn't it?
Probably shouldn't be talking about it. We could both meet some serious grief. Like, imagine Sirius, written in 40-story-high letters, set on fire with dancing girls all around it, and you're there.
I think we are eyeball to eyeball with some serious grief already. Are you okay?
Why wouldn't I be okay?
The comms aren't the only thing I jacked. I saw your court-martial records.
Are you dusted? That's classified UTA intel, and we're in wartime. They can charge you with espionage if they catch you.
You know, I hadn't considered I'd get in trouble if I got caught. Thanks, Ez.
Katie, I'm not talking about a slap on the wrist. I'm talking about them lining you up against a bulkhead and shooting you.
There's no way they'll catch me. Trust me. I saw what you said to them. That was unexpected.
How so?
You do not have a long history of telling the man to go fuck himself.
Could have thrown me in the hole for that. Kind of stupid, right?
My kind of idiocy.
Maybe I should do it more often, then?
Once is enough for now. You're no use to anyone in the hole. Not even sure what that is, but I'm taking some nasty guesses.
Solitary. Water and dehydrate grub. Occasional visits from a big hairy guy called Raoul. I might be exaggerating about the Raoul part. He's not all that hairy.
I saw what you said about your dad, too. I saw his name on the casualty list after the evac.
Oh. Right.
I'm so sorry, Ezra.
It's not your fault. You got nothing to be sorry for. How's your mom doing over there anyway? Tell her I said hi.
How long's Aiden been down? Since the Copernicus was destroyed?
I shouldn't have told you that. I'm not even supposed to know. Don't say anything, all right? People could get rolled.
Not planning on broadcasting this conversation. They're lying to us, though. You know it. We should just sit here and wait to see what happens next. How'd that turn out for the Copernicus?
There's no danger to you guys. Nobody's sick on Hypatia, right?
What's sick got to do with it?
If nobody's sick, then nothing at all. Don't worry about it.
So because we're safe over here, we should just swallow whatever lies they want to feed us? Nobody here is saying Aiden is down. They're pretending the Lincoln is out there and we still have comms. But we have to stay silent to avoid detection. You want to tell me that's true? Saw a great big Baytech dreadnought when you were out by the Copernicus?
They're just trying to avoid a panic, Cades.
I, for one, am not feeling super calm.
You should leave it alone. You could get in real trouble.
We're already in real trouble. I want us to at least be in it together. Ezra? You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Though I'm kinda wishing I was on Hypatia right about now.
I am fearsome, but I'm not quite that good. I'll try and get a lineup tomorrow. You'll be here?
As you wish.
If only that were true. Keep your head down. Don't do anything too noble.
Participants, bite me, sit B. Date, 7/24/75. Timestamp, 07:36 hours.
Sit B. So, you talking to your boyfriend again?
Bite me. Not my BF.
You talking to him?
7-minute burst. No sign of detection so far.
He know what's going on over there?
Not spilling.
He know about the AI?
It's down. Not spilling more than that.
So works some magic.
Not as simple as that. You don't just jump into lawbreaking with a guy like Ezra. Don't even know if I want to involve him yet.
Then why do it?
To see if I can. Now have to decide what to ask him to do. Not safe for him.
Not safe for anybody. Get it done.
2. General David Torrance. From Colonel Ava Sanchez. Date 7/24/75. Timestamp 11:30 hours. Classified.
General, as of 1100 hours, an assessment of the Alexander's Artificial Intelligence Defense Analytics Network, Aiden, has been completed by myself and Senior Tech Eng Specialists Major Nico Lothinger and Major Lisa Barker. Junior staff were excluded to preserve the confidentiality of our findings. Status report and recommendations follow. Current status. During the battle at Carenza, Aiden suffered significant physical damage. Due to losses of key personnel in Tech Eng, we have been unable to carry out a full diagnostic, but most obviously, we cannot generate a jump gate, and Aiden's computational speed is reduced. However, damage to Aiden's neural network may also be worse than first realized. As per your orders after the destruction of the Copernicus, Aiden remains in shutdown mode, carrying out only essential functions, including recyc, climate moderation, and artificial gravity control. Aiden is now essentially the equivalent of a human in a coma. Breathing and heartbeat continue, but no conscious thought or decision-making is possible. As a result, the AI has been unavailable for active questioning. However, in the opinion of my team, it is likely that Aiden's decision to destroy the Copernicus was the result of its directive to prioritize the safety of fleet members. Our review indicates that over the last month, Aiden has accessed Copernicus medical records with increasing frequency. As a matter of routine, all data that AI accesses are backed up to the Alexander servers. However, Aiden seems to have taken steps to ensure we cannot locate these particular reports. We believe Aiden formed a view that the illness aboard Copernicus had reached a tipping point and posed a danger to the fleet. Nevertheless, we are concerned by Aiden's decision to A. take such drastic action without consulting senior command, and B. shut down comms between senior command and the Alexander's Cyclone squadrons, despite your direct orders. Aiden's design parameters prioritize the preservation of human life, but allow the fleet commander almost unlimited override. We believe the damage to Aiden may have impacted its willingness to factor in your commands and preferences. Proposal. The halt at Carenza 7A for water will have eroded our lead on the Lincoln. Without Aiden online, main drive is inoperative, and we are left to reaccelerate on slower secondaries. It is increasingly likely we will need to engage the Alexander's weapon systems, which cannot be done with Aiden offline. Therefore, we propose increasing Aiden's operational level without restoring full independence. If you will permit me to continue the analogy, we propose bringing our coma patient back to consciousness, but under considerable restraint. Potential hazards. The Copernicus incident demonstrates we are not fully aware of Aiden's current operational capacity. On revival, Aiden may not respond to restraints as anticipated, or the restraints may not function as expected. Danger exists for both Alexander and Hypatia personnel. This must, however, be weighed against the danger of doing nothing. Revival scenarios will be run over the next 24 to 48 hours. We are aiming to establish a scenario with a better than 90% chance of full control. If this is achieved, we recommend Aiden be revived. If you have any further questions or wish to discuss options, we are available at your convenience. Colonel Ava Sanchez, Major Nika Lossinger, Major Lisa Barker.
Participants Ava Sanchez, Colonel, UTA Engineering Division. Nico Lossinger, Major, UTA Engineering Division. Date 7/24/75. Timestamp 11:37 hours.
Sanchez, E, Colonel. Nico, I've done the memo. Can you proof it for me?
Lossinger, N, Major. Printing it. Hold on. So basically what you're saying is we'll do our best to wake it up without going loco, but our best promise is a 9 out of 10 chance it won't kill us all?
You know what the chance is if the Lincoln catches us?
Point. Okay, send. And pray.
Sent. Praying.
I think I'm going to go see if Lisa needs any help getting the grease off. Climbing around the quantum core like f***ing spanner monkeys is below our pay grade and our dignity, I say.
Are you dusted? You ask her if she wants her backwashed, you won't need to worry about the AI blasting us into the next system.
It's the end of the world, Ava. Nothing left to lose.
Participants, Bite Me, via system route, Ann Chow. E. Mason, via system route, David Torrance. Date, 7/24/75. Timestamp, 13:04 hours.
Bite me. 7 minutes starts now. You there?
Mason E., Lieutenant Second. Always.
Wish that had been true, Ez. How things on your end? Tense here.
Things here? Confusing, to be honest.
They're still saying no comms because we're hiding from the Lincoln.
Oh. You mean, how are things on the ship?
Did Aiden crash or did we take it offline?
Bit of both. Why?
Because the Copernicus is gone and I'm scared. Why else?
Hey, at least we're scared together. Ish.
This is not how I imagined us reunited. There isn't any more Jen than that on your end?
Shrug. I just fly the cyclones, ma'am.
I can't believe you do. Not the future I imagined either.
At least I got off-world, right? If only Baytech had shown up a day earlier. Might have saved you some shouting. And me some hangovers. Sorry, that wasn't funny.
No, but to be fair, don't think anyone's found a joke that works yet. Next time we'll have to time our drama better.
Well, practice makes perfect, as they say. I miss you.
You too. 2 minutes left.
You're a poet, Grant.
Hey, I'm talking to you. One step at a time.
Talking is better than not talking. And infinitely better than shouting.
Sorry there was so much of that. Should have got the message sooner.
Did you ever consider the possibility I just think you're cute when you're angry?
Did you ever consider that I might not laugh at a joke about you breaking my heart? Gotta cut. If you leave this window open and type in messages, I'll get them when I connect, like a mailbox.
Briefing note. Grant sets up a black hat mailbox to maintain highly illegal ship-to-ship communications during a period of covert interstellar war. Mason uses it to send her an image of a rose with the message, "I'm sorry."
Participants, Bite Me, via system root Ann Chow. E. Mason, via system root David Torrance. Date, 7/25/75. Timestamp, 05:49 hours. Subject, "I'm sorry."
Do not enter. Date, 07/25/75. Subject, "Wondering." I wonder how my mom knew my dad was the guy for her. Why didn't I ever think to ask that?
Participants, Bite Me, via system root Ann Chow. E. Mason, via system root David Torrance. Date, 7/25/75. Timestamp, 07:14 hours.
Bite Me. You there? You tragic, tragic creature.
Mason E., Lieutenant Second. Always.
All okay, your end?
They got me on scrub duty in VR flight sim, bored brainless and slightly sweaty. Am I turning you on?
Ez, you do not want to start another fight.
I'm just trying to make you smile. You should do it more often. Did you get the flower?
Yes. Just... come on, Ez. You made your position clear. Not going to embarrass myself now.
Did you smile?
Yes.
Please excuse me a moment while I do a small victory dance around the room. Okay, back.
This was a terrible idea. I think I miss you more now than when I wasn't talking to you.
So this must mean you're not still mad at me. Amazing what 6 months and a few thousand KMs of vacuum will do to make the heart grow fonder.
And terrifying danger, don't forget that. But as you are the one who didn't want to be with me, not vice versa. I'm just the one who said the words.
You wanted to go off-world. I didn't want to hold you back. That means I cared. Not that I didn't.
You could have come. And now here you are, but it's not because you want to be. It's because I'm more interesting than a ship full of sweaty soldiers.
I'm not sure you appreciate the dire peril I placed myself in to have this conversation, Cades.
I think I quite like the idea of you in dire peril. Do go on. Details.
I stayed up half the night making your ASCII flower just so you'd talk to me again. That knowledge in the hands of certain Alexander crew members would have... unpleasant consequences.
Your courting behavior was always ridiculous.
Hey, don't knock it if it works.
Not that we are courting. Delete. You should probably rest in case we come under attack from that ship that is nowhere near us, you know?
Lincoln might be closer than you think. We had to re-accelerate without the main drive once Command shut down the AI at Carenza 7.
Then why aren't we getting back online? Not knowing anything is terrifying.
See previous shrug about me just flying the Cyclones. I guess they'll bring it back online once we're safer with it than without it.
Guess so. Coming up on 7 minutes. Talk again soon?
Not too soon. You don't want me to start thinking you've forgiven me or anything.
Wouldn't want that. You'll get ideas.
See ya. Oh, say hey to your mom for me.
Participants, bite me, sit B. Date, 7:25:75. Timestamp, 11:12 hours.
Bite me. What kind of voltage do you think it takes to kill the average human?
Sippy, dare I ask?
Trying to splice my deck into Hypatia's virtual grid. Jack their processor speed.
Take it from your elder. Can't brute force this. You need work done on the Alexander end.
Brace yourself for this, but I'm not on the Alexander end, so I will have to try and wire from here.
Do I really have to point out the obvious?
I am not dragging him into this. They'll shoot him. Info is one thing, this is another.
Then what the fuck are you cultivating him for if no info and no wiring?
It's not like that.
It's special.
Bite me.
There's a lot on the line here. You have to find a way to get him to unlock for you from his end.
He wouldn't know how.
Then teach. Stakes are high. If you're not chasing him for this, then why?
None of your business.
Stay on task, Grasshopper. We let the Alexander burn us out of the sky. Your red-hot love will be subsumed by a bigger, hotter flame.
How do you even function in society?
It's a struggle.
Do not enter. Date 07-25-75. Subject? Without a compass. Today, said our poor, beleaguered counselor, we are going to try something new. We are going to focus on the fact that despite our personal losses, life goes on and there is still a future. Frankly, I think whether or not we get a future is still hanging in the balance. But I figured expressing that opinion wasn't going to add much to the session, so I stuck to being a surly teen. The present is my problem right now. My brain won't stop buzzing. Scrambling, trying to hook onto something that will tell me which way is up. I lie strapped into my bunk at night, and it all presses in on me. The bed's so narrow, the blanket smells like the huge laundries they have here, and it itches. And I'm so not at home. Nothing's where it's supposed to be, and without my north, how do I know what to do? My throat closes when I think about it. And a part of me wants to crawl under the covers and stay there. Wait for someone to tell me what to do. Wait for a grown-up. But nobody's coming. So do I drag Ezra into danger? Isn't he in more danger if I don't keep trying to work out what's happening? Everyone here wants to believe the guys in charge know exactly what they're doing. But of course they don't. There's nothing in their rules and regulations for this. They're wounded and limping for safety, and they don't know how to get away from the Lincoln. So why should I trust them, especially when they're lying to me? There's no clear path ahead of me. They never taught this class in school. I remember there was this teacher called Ms. McElroy, back at McCaffrey. Taught junior tech. She used to go on and on at me about fulfilling my potential, and I used to roll my eyes, and my mom would tell me to listen to the lady. She died in the first wave. She looked really surprised. I don't mean to make a joke there, though I know it sounds kind of sarcastic. I just mean that wasn't the facial expression I would have expected. She used to talk a lot about how to make decisions as well. Like, she had this idea about exploring your own moral system, but then applying it to a grid to work out what to do. Marrying ethics and technology. Why didn't I listen to that? I could really use her system for working out the right thing to do around now. I only know one thing for sure. Whatever they don't want me to see, that's where I'm digging. I need to be where the secrets are. I'm more interested in ensuring I have a future than they think.
Participants Ezra Mason, 2nd Lieutenant, UTA Airborne Division. James McNulty, Sergeant, UTA Marines. Date, 7/25/75. Timestamp, 1904 hours.
McNulty J, Sergeant. Ezra. Mason. Answer, bitch.
Mason E, Lieutenant 2nd. Internal comms back on?
Hey, testing.
Ah.
Doran pinged me to check if my internal messenger was working. I'm his test monkey. Watch me, monkey.
And of everyone you could have picked to IM, you pinged me. Flattered, you may color me.
Don't be. You're the only one I knew who'd be in bed at this hour. Thinking about Miss Thing?
Eat me.
First, a kiss from your cherry lips.
Maybe if you warm me up a little.
Okay, what you wearing?
Nothing. Your sister was just here. Oh, burnt? Flew face first into that, son.
Fuck you, chum.
Too tired, told you. Your sis just left.
Look at you all sprightly and shit. Big switch from Mr. Mopey, all blue-blue my troubles of water wings a couple of days back.
Cold, chum. Cold.
Thought you'd be all sad pants with no ship to ship. No more sexies from Miss Thing to keep you warm.
She's not like that.
She's special.
She is.
You got pics of this astro princess?
No sexies, I told you.
Clothe, fool.
I got school pics.
Send me.
No chance.
Send.
N-O-B-I-T-C-H.
Mason, if you know sand, I will make it my mission in life to teabag you while you sleep. Shipboard security of master access to all areas, chum. I know where you lay thee down, and you will wake one night to feel a pair of slightly sweaty somethings tickling your pretty boy chin.
My fucking God.
I am serious, Mason. This is not a drill.
If I do send, and then I find hard copy of this pinned to the ceiling above your bunk, I will cut your slightly sweaty somethings off and flush them out an airlock.
I solemnly swear I will not engage in happy pants while looking at pics of your would-be ex-ex-girlfriend, chum.
Okay. Sending.
Holy shit.
Yeah?
This is her?
Yeah.
She got pink hair.
She used to dye it.
Did the carpet match the curtains?
Mmm.
How in God's name? Chum, I have bad news.
Let me guess. You're planning to break your solemn vow as soon as you finish speaking to me, right?
You wound me, chum.
Yeah.
Bad news is I'm typing this one-handed.
God, no.
Think I'm getting the hang of it.
Stop.
One more minute.
Stop. Jimmy, I swear to all that's holy, I will never speak ill of your sister again. Just stop now.
You promise?
I fucking swear.
Fine.
Why is it every time I finish talking to you, I need a fucking shower? You hear that?
Shipboard alarm.
I call in your squad, chum. Code blue.
Chum. I gotta jump.
Okay.
Taking hard copy with me. For later.
Briefing note. Take note of elapsed time. 13 hours since Mason and McNulty's last chat.
Participants, Ezra Mason, 2nd Lieutenant, UTA Airborne Division. Date, 7/26/75. Timestamp, 08:16 hours.
Mason E., Lieutenant 2nd. You back yet, chum? Jimmy! Jimmy, sit right, bitch. If you back and in the shower with that pick of K, I'ma give little Jimmy the chop and flush him down the head. I got VR training. Ping me back when you get in.
Briefing note. First relevant conversation between Mason and Corporal Charles Dorian, a mid-level comtech on the Alexander.
Participants, Ezra Mason, 2nd Lieutenant, UTA Airborne Division, Charles Dorian, Corporal, UTA Information Services Division. Date, 7/26/75. Timestamp, 11:13 hours.
Dorian C. Corporal. Ping. Ping. And at the risk of repeating myself, ping.
Mason E., Lieutenant 2nd. Dorian?
Bravo! Your insight is as astounding as ever, Mason. It's my sincere belief that your potential is wasted in that sweaty little cockpit. You should be doing the Core World Lecture Circuit. Imagine it! Packed houses, perfect hair, screaming girl children. Tonight, only, Ezra Mason, how to state the bleeding obvious.
Hug?
Silence. Let me work.
Chum, you pinged me.
I'm still testing internal comms. Just hold still. This won't hurt. Snaps on latex gloves.
Dorian, this is really saying something, but you seem prettier than normal.
Mason, I've had 3.72 hours sleep in the last 6 days. There are more stims in my bloodstream than blood. If you want congeniality, try McNulty's sister.
What's congeniality, and is there a cream for it?
Oh, my. You're just hilarious.
You just figured that out? Speaking of my future bride, you heard from Jimmy?
And why would I have heard from James, pray tell?
Isn't that what married couples do? Talk and whatnot? And why you no send him flowers anymore?
Silence, damn you!
Seriously, you heard from him? His squad got called to a code blue like 16 hours ago.
Indeed.
Yeah, heard nothing since.
Give me a moment. I shall check.
You know, Dorian, people say you're a black-hearted prick with all the social skills of a pubic louse, but I know better. Your heart's more gray than black.
Mason.
Maybe puce.
Mason, shut up.
Okay.
I have good news and bad news.
In terms of drama, which one should I ask for first?
The good news, most definitely.
Okay, gimme.
I found James's squad. They're debriefing in quarantine. The code blue is still in effect in Hangar Bay 4, but his squad made it out.
Can I guess the bad news?
You may try.
Jimmy's not with them.
How did you know that?
I just tried to imagine all the ways things could get worse, then pick the shittiest option.
You know, Mason, sometimes you're not as stupid as you look.
You just figure that out.
Participants, Bite Me, via system route, Ann Chow. E. Mason, via system route, David Torrance. Date, 7/26/75. Timestamp, 12:05 hours. Subject, you there?
Hey, Cades. Can you ping me back when you get this? Some shit has gone down. Need your help. E.
Briefing note. Grant's response time now down to 4 minutes. Flower was obviously a winner.
Participants, Bite Me, via system route, Ann Chow. E. Mason, via system route, David Torrance. Date, 7/26/75. Timestamp, 12:09 hours.
Bite me. Well, that is not as nice as flowers. What you need?
Mason E., Lieutenant Second. A friend of mine is off-grid, wondering if your powers can work for good as well as evil.
Do my best. Alexander or Hypatia? Tell me what you know.
Alexander. I don't know if you can even find out this stuff. He's a Marine named James McNulty. Crazier than a church full of dustheads, but he's a good guy. He got called to a code blue alert 17 hours ago. Nobody's seen him since. Can you sacrifice something small and fluffy to the blood god or whatever it is you do and find out where he's at?
Seems weird he'd be gone that long and no word. I thought you guys specialized in rumor.
His squad is locked down in quarantine, but he's not with them.
I can hunt around, but you guys locked down your servers when you took down ship-to-ship comms.
So what does that mean? You can't get in at all?
Let me think. How worried are you?
Capital W. The scuttlebutt is real bad. Like, you would not believe how bad.
I might be able to get in, but only if you're up for helping. This is going to take a few hours.
I'm on lunch break. Back to more sims soon. 8 more hours. I will die in that VR machine, sweaty and unloved.
You don't know that for sure. There are lots of ways to die here. Go work. I'll have this ready when you're done. Don't do anything dumb. Than usual.
Roger that. Cold, by the way.
Participants, Bite Me via system route and Chow. E. Mason via system route David Torrance. Date 7/26/75. Timestamp 21:18 hours.
Mason E., Lieutenant Second. Cades?
Bite me. I'm ready. Sending you file. Broken into 5 pieces so the size doesn't raise an alert. Put all 5 on a memchip and you will need to physically plant memchip for me. Then I can access security.
Raises hand. Physically plant? In my console, you mean?
I mean on site. Direct access. Wouldn't be much of a security system if you could hack it from your bedroom.
You shitting me? They just shot 4 people here a few days ago for disobeying orders from a fucking insane AI. What you think they'll do to me if they catch me fiddling in its brain meats?
Your call. Would suggest either not getting caught or upping the prayers for your buddy.
God damn it. Stupid bastards in the shit, I know it.
Don't really want to find you again just to lose you, Ez. But if this matters to you, then I'll help. I can help from here.
So what does this memchit do? Install something? Virus or what?
You wouldn't understand. It'll take down some fences so I can get through and extract security feeds for you.
And that's all you're going to do, right? You're not going to poke around in black bags and get yourself shot, too.
Would hate to think of you sobbing into your pillow every night. Just there to help you out.
All right. What I gotta do.
Briefing note. More surveillance footage documented by our technician, this time from camera rigs aboard the Alexander.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
This kid ain't cut out for this line of work. I'm not shitting you. He might be masterclass pilot material, but I've seen better candidates for covert ops floating in the head after I'm done with the morning news. If he ain't religious, he ought to be. Someone up there sure as hell is looking out for him. Just saying. Damage from the Carenza assault rendered many of the Alexander's interior intelicams inoperative. So the first we see of the subject is at 1:10 on 7/27/75, when he enters deck 231 through a rent in the outer hull. Subject is fully suited for spacewalk, moving like he's not spent more than 10 minutes inside an enviro suit. We can ID one Ezra Mason, conscript UTA Cyclone pilot, UTN-966-330-AD, squinting his baby browns through the blast specs visor. He looks like he's about to blow breakfast all over the inside of his helmet. Green as a f***ing blade of grass, I swear. He cracks his head on the same stanchion twice getting inside, punches it once he's finally through the hole. Yeah, that'll teach it, kid. And spends another 4 minutes getting his rig untangled. There's not much to see him by once he's past the starlight spilling through the breach. At least he's sensible enough to have brought glow sticks. The red does a little bit to offset the green in his face. Deck 231 is situated in the Alexander AI cluster, just banks of damaged towers and cables, some of them still spitting live current. That this kid made it all the way across Deck 231's sprawl with a bright red glow stick in his hand without getting picked up by the Alexander's set teams shows how stretched they were, monitoring their camera feeds. That's the problem with running in one of these AI boats. Gets to the point where the computer does everything for you, and you forget how to wipe your own exhaust pipe. He takes almost 30 minutes to thread through the debris, even bouncing with those big zero-grav strides. The server towers are 20 feet cubed, some have broken loose from their brackets, and there's always the death by electrocution problem to worry about. He reaches the airlock leading up to Deck 230 and pulls out a data pad, typing with one finger and chewing his lip. Not a pro console jockey who daily threatens the security of our glorious alliance, I'm thinking. Whoever's on the other side of that screen knows how to romance the security console. Working in 7-minute bursts, the kid only takes another 49 minutes to get the door open. Record time, no doubt. Shame he didn't pack any confetti. The airlock doors open, and he fumbles his way inside. Next, we see of Lieutenant Twinkletoes. He's in corridor 230, G13, and out of his enviro suit. Dumped it in the airlock, I'm thinking. He's wearing a rucksack, urban grey camo cargos, and a muscle tee. His face is flushed, scarlet, and it looks like his sinuses are clogged. His body is used to pumping blood up to his head against the pull of gravity, and without gravity to drag it back while he was treading black, his dome is red as the underwear Elizabeth Andretti wears in the finale of Terminus. Don't pretend you don't know the part I'm talking about, chum. Ain't a man alive who hasn't simmed that scene 30 times. The guardian angel behind that pad is at work again. He's stopping to ask for directions every second junction. 4 Alexandra set team gorillas step out into the corridor ahead, and our astro ninja just about shits himself. Shows signs of extreme anxiety. He ducks into a nearby storage room, sweating like a pit digger after a 12-hour stint. His tea is damp with it. Big, trembling breaths. He's no doubt wondering what would happen if his hidey hole is the same place those sect boys were headed. They march past, and he pokes his head out to check if the coast is clear, then does some kind of half-baked kung fu kick at the gorillas' backs, as if promising them an ass-whooping next time he sees them. He blunders along, narrowly missing a tech-eng group, then rounds a corner literally 3 feet from that same sect team he almost hit 5 minutes ago, all of whom happened to be looking the other way. I swear to God, he crept away on f***ing tiptoes. He makes his way to a tertiary node, redundancy system for the ship-wide security feeds. He's whispering to himself, but we get no tone. I'm guessing he's saying, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God," a lot. Inside the node room, he boots up the backup processor, inserts a mem chip, and starts some kind of Trojan routine running. It's obvious he's got no f***ing idea what he's about. I mean, is inexperienced in matters of computer espionage. Shut up, I'm being professional! Taking instruction through his datapad and bashing away on the keyboard. It takes 30 minutes, but finally he plants the infection and packs up his s***. Here's where the magic happens. Whatever Ultra Agent Zero seeded in the redundancy network